So, continuing on this topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we do see in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, "But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." So we better understand this topic so that we don't find ourselves living in adultery, practicing adultery. We're going to be judged for that if we are. Now, I believe we're going to be primarily in the ninth verse tonight of the 19th chapter of Matthew. And I think I see at least two, but I may need some corroboration or a little help from a couple of English teachers in the audience tonight, and some with background in language. So, I believe what we'll see taught in the ninth verse of the ninth chapter of Matthew is that God's law on marriage is one man for one woman for one lifetime with one exception. Let's see. Randy, I won't ask you to read because you're reading from the New American Standard on that particular verse. But I do want you to know that the what's known in the science about this, Unseal 03, known as the Codex Vaticanus, I believe does contain both parts of Matthew 19 and 9. Okay? Anyway, the New American Standard Version leaves out the second part of Matthew 19 and 9. However, one of the oldest manuscripts that we have, the Codex Vaticanus, which was written or copied, shall we say, sometime between the year 300 AD and 399 AD, I believe does have Matthew 19 and 9 in that text. Okay? No, it's not necessary. Who has Matthew 19 and 9? Let's read the verse. Bruce? Okay.
"And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doeth commit adultery."
Okay. So, now, just briefly, what's Jesus saying in this verse is he's answering the question of the Pharisees back in the third verse, is it lawful for a man to put his wife away for any cause? And Jesus is simply saying, no, you can't put your wife away for every cause. You can't divorce your wife for just any reason. If you do and you remarry another, you commit adultery. Jesus gives one reason for divorce or putting away, and that is fornication. Whereby the innocent party, the party innocent who did not commit fornication, can divorce and remarry without committing adultery. So my next slide is a borrowed chart. I borrowed this chart. It's better than I could think of to create myself. And that fits up there pretty well. So we have reasons to put away. Notice on the chart, the Pharisees say put away for every cause, Matthew 19 and 3. And that this reference here is the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And they're a group of historians who comment on historical times. Kind of like Josephus wrote about, you know, the history of the Jews and the wars of the Jews. Josephus wrote about history. This citation, they're on page 864, volume 2, they're writing about why the Jews, what reasons the Jews came up with to put away their wives, what they were practicing, okay, that went beyond Deuteronomy 24th chapter. So they could, they said for any cause, personal dislike, breaks any vow, spins in the street, burning the bread, as Mickey has used that expression many times. I think most of us here have heard that. But Jesus says, and that's why I've got like a two up there, Jesus says, no, you can't do that, not for just any reason. Fornication is the reason. Only one cause. So that's the reason for a divorce. And that's going to become important when hopefully, maybe we'll get to examine some of this false teaching that is pervasive today on this subject. Now, let's talk about the syntax of Matthew 19 and 9. arguably, I'd like everyone to look at the verse in your Bibles. This verse arguably is at least what we call in what everyone here took in English class. It's a compound sentence at least. Perhaps even what might be known as a complex compound sentence. But the point being, it's made up of two independent clauses. Okay? So to make this easier to understand, we're going to look at the two clauses of the sentence of Matthew 19 and 9. Now, clause A being, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And clause B, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So that's how this sentence is structured. Got two clauses here. Now, Matthew 19 and 9, clause A, let's break it, let's boil it down and see what Jesus is saying. He's stating the rule here that you put away not for fornication and you remarry another, you commit adultery. And then he has an exception. Remember, the verse reads, "Whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication." So we have the exception. You put away for fornication. That's the reason. You remarry another. You do not commit adultery. So in clause A, we see one reason given for putting away. And that is for fornication. If you put away for just any reason, as the Pharisees said, and you remarry another, you commit adultery. Jesus is saying, no, you can't put away for every cause. You put away for fornication and remarry, you do not commit adultery. So that's clause A. Of Matthew 19 and 9. And let's notice, too, in clause A, let's notice some of the terms that Jesus uses. Jesus says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife." Now, that putting away, read it carefully, that putting away is not approved of God, is it? Because you're going to commit adultery. It's not for fornication. Jesus, God, called that a putting away. Jesus, God, is recognizing that yes, man can go ahead and do something, engage in an action and complete an action, but it's not approved of God. It's not sanctioned by God. Okay? It's just like in Mark chapter 6, where John said to Herod, "It's unlawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife." There, Herod had violated God's law of marriage, hadn't he? It was unlawful. It's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife, your brother Philip's wife. The inspired record there uses the word wife. Recognizes that Herod had married his sister-in-law. But it wasn't approved by God. Okay. So, Bruce?
So, Matthew 19 and 9. Put away your spouse for any reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even explains it a little more clearly. Because since he says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committed adultery against her." So is that explaining that clause a little bit more than saying, because now you have put away your wife for no reason, now you're causing her to commit adultery?
Well, where the word "her" is referring to the wife. Yes, that is the position that I take. But let's get a little deeper into it, and then you'll also see why I'm laying some foundational material, which I just did over the last couple of minutes. Okay, now, Matthew 19 and 9, clause B, what does it teach? Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Look at the verse. Everyone look at the verse, please. Isn't that what it says? So, you marry one who is put away, you commit adultery. Now, is there an exception given in clause B? No. There's no exception in clause B. Now, so Jesus said, whoso marrieth her which is put away for what? That begs the question. Whoso marrieth her which is put away, as we say, begs the question, put away for what? Well, let's see. Personal dislike, breaking a vow, burning the bread, spending too much, fornication. Well, we're going to... if you marry her which is put away, you commit adultery. That's the statement. Now, let's look at a borrowed companion chart here. Marrying the put away one. Whosoever marrieth her which is put away... for what? Personal dislike, breaks any vow, spins in the street, burning the bread, fornication, commits adultery. Remember, you can't read the exception in clause B of Matthew 19 and 9. Now, what I'm saying is that putting away in clause B involves for any reason and fornication. Jesus teaches if you marry one who is put away, you commit adultery. Jesus teaches that the one put away for any cause or fornication cannot remarry. Now, let me see if I can, let's see if I can establish this point in class here. About the B clause not containing the exception and putting away including any reason and fornication. Let's look at the absence of an exception. Let's look at grammar and syntax. And that the Word of God is complete. Okay. Again, looking at the clause, clause B, of the ninth verse, let's take note. The exception is not in clause B of Matthew 19 and 9. It's not physically there. You have to read it into the text. Okay. Let me clarify that by using my second point, or try to anyway. Okay. In other words, well, Jenny. In other words, you simply would have to. You'd have to, as you read clause B, you'd have to supply it.
And for it to make sense, or you would have to in order to make it say something it doesn't say.
Exactly.
Okay.
Make it say something that it doesn't say.
So your example that you have for the element A to 1. You can't just put 1 in that position.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that right now. Okay. Now look at the verse again. Look at the A clause again, okay? The phrase, except it be for fornication, that is an adverbial phrase. It's modifying or telling us something about the verb shall put away. So the modifying clause applies only to the person doing the putting away. It's an adverbial phrase modifying the verb shall put away. We all remember from class that an adverb is a word that modifies or tells us something about a verb.
Is putting away divorcing?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, just a little commentary on that, actually. When you study the issues involved, you're right, the subject itself can be plain. The teaching about the subject... There's teaching that creates confusion on the subject.
This is kind of confusing me.
Okay.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay.
I'm a linguistics major, and I'm not following you.
I'm not following.
Okay.
Okay. Well, okay. Alexis is an example of what, you know, person A, person B, person C, because you lost me in the verbiage.
If we're trying to dispel false doctrine, what's the false doctrine we're trying to dispel?
Okay. False doctrine that we're trying to spell is that the exception clause belongs in part B. Okay?
Why would it belong in part B?
That's exactly the question.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Whoever marries somebody who was put away for fornication wouldn't be committing adultery.
Well, Jenny, it's a lot of places.
Well,
right.
Okay, no. I just... Okay, let me go to the next slide and see if that makes the point. Okay? So we have an adverbial clause which modifies shall put away. Okay? It's telling us something about the putting away. It's the exception. Now... Someone says that the exception, except it be for fornication, belongs down in part B. Okay? But if you do that, can you do that grammatically? This is the point that I'm making right here. If you try to also include that exception clause in part B so that it says, whoso marrieth her, which is put away except for fornication, okay? If you try to insert that in there, that phrase, you've changed the color of the phrase grammatically. It is no longer an adverbial phrase. It is modifying that pronoun in there, her. It now becomes an adjective or an adjective phrase. You've changed something grammatically from an adverbial phrase to an adjective phrase. And I don't believe you can do that according to rules of grammar. Jenny?
It seems that the only time that the phrase accepted me for fornication would be inserted in the second clause is to say that if the fornicator puts away the faithful partner, that means the faithful partner now can't remarry because they didn't put him away.
Actually, the reason some try to put that exception clause in part B is to teach that the one who is put away for fornication, or to use the term, the put away fornicator, can scripturally remarry. Yes. Yes. That's why there are those who try to insert the exception clause into part B.
Okay, I have a question. You're reading a version that says, it's not posted right now. Does yours say, and he who marries a woman who was put away? Because what I'm, my marginal note says, he who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There's no indication of the reason for the divorce and who did the divorcing. That's what's hanging me up, because I don't know. Is this woman the same one who was put away for fornication? Is that what you're...
Well, I'm saying this can be any woman who is put away. Can be for fornication or any other reason.
Well, so is this a different example of woman than in the first part of the phrase? In the first part of the phrase, it's, okay, person A divorces, for whatever reason, person B divorces their wife for fornication. So, person A, neither one is scripturally permitted to remarry. Example B, the innocent party could remarry, the guilty party could not.
Correct.
In clause B, what type of woman are you saying that this is? One who was a fornicator or one who was not? That's what I'm not clear on.
I'll go back to my previous statement. One, the woman was put away for fornication or any other reason, not for fornication. That clause B includes, I hate to use the word category, Carolyn, but for lack of a better term, that includes the woman who was put away for any cause, and the woman who is put away for fornication.
For committing it.
Right.
Not because the husband committed it and wanted to move on.
Right, okay. Right, right.
So she's either been divorced for no scriptural reason or because she committed fornication.
Exactly. Jonathan?
Rationale that once fornication has occurred,
the second quotation, and that frees both parties from the merit and responsibility. That's the take I've heard of trying to use
the So, the point of Danny?
On the flip side.
Okay. According to Matthew 19:9, that defines that as adultery. That's right. Okay. Well, God calls that adultery. Randy?
The other side of what you're talking about, Daniel, is verse 6, 19, verse 6. They're no longer two but one flesh, but therefore God has joined the other, let no man separate. That man's not allowed to divorce his wife because she doesn't share.
Right.
If he does, he's sinning, divorcing her. And he's putting himself into a situation where he can't remarry.
That's correct.
Here's a question now that links to them. So, party three, who marries one of these who shouldn't have divorced in the first place, they're committing adultery by marrying them.
Right.
If they divorce because it wasn't a scripturally allowed marriage in the first place, are they still guilty then, and now they can't remarry because they committed adultery? I mean, could it have even been unknowingly? Or are they, because, it, okay, if they absolve
Maybe, Carolyn, about three or four down, I have a chart on that. Okay? Let me see if I can get to that. Okay, but let me just say before we move on, I'm trying to present arguments here to show why the exception clause, except for fornication, is not in clause B of Matthew 19 and 9. It doesn't exist there. People try to read it into the text. They try to supply it. Okay? They try to say that the phrase, except for fornication, is implied in part B of Matthew 19 and 9. And it's not. It's not, because you can't physically read it in there. Second of all, you have to violate rules of grammar to get it there. You have to change an adverbial phrase into an adjective phrase. And thirdly, if you were to put that exception in there so that the one who is put away for fornication can scripturally remarry, then let's look at the end result of that. The end result of that is one cannot profit from their own sin. There are no loopholes in the Word of God. As we see in James, the first chapter, about verse 25, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Word of God is complete. And we see that we've been provided everything that pertains unto life and godliness, which is found where? Yeah. let's see, maybe about 2 Peter chapter 1, maybe about verses 2 and 3. Now, how could one profit from their own sin? If the one who is put away for fornication can scripturally remarry, how could they profit from their own sin? Well, Ken?
Mm-hmm. And I'm talking countless thousands of people since the 40s have went down that path, not knowing that it might have been, how can they profit from that? They really believed what was being taught and in the scripture. And it's just like, if you read Matthew 19:9, Terry, just for this one time, we're just going to take out except fornication here.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife and shall marry another committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she is put away committeth adultery. Now, if you go over to the text in Mark chapter 10, verse 11, that's exactly what it says.
I agree. It is.
I can understand people believing that truly is God's word and being confused.
Yeah. What I want to bring out here is this. Let's say that a man has decided that he doesn't want his wife anymore. That he wants another woman over here. Okay? Well, he could think, well, I could go out and commit fornication with another woman, and I hope my wife will divorce me. Now, my wife divorces me. I can scripturally remarry. Well, that's what this, I'm describing, that's what this man is thinking, this hypothetical man is thinking. You see, can you see the scenario? He's thinking, well, if my wife divorces me, now I'm scripturally divorced, this is his thinking process, so now I can marry this other woman over here who I really want. See, if the put-away fornicator can scripturally remarry, then someone can start thinking that they have found a loophole in the Word of God, or they can make an end run around Matthew 19 and 9. Does everyone see that? Randy?
Mm-hmm. They're saying that it doesn't just take Matthew 19 and rip it out of the Bible. You don't really need that.
Yeah. You know, actually, you know, when you say rip it out of the Bible, you know, Bill Moseley told me about a case one time where he was talking to a woman about the gospel over her house studying with her, and she had actually taken a razor blade and cut out a couple of verses in the first chapter of James. She had physically cut them out with a razor blade. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. She didn't like that being in there. She literally cut it out. Roy?
Well, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. I had a question. Where were they reading into that? They were thinking what your scenario is now?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're saying you cannot, you know, you
Right, because the Word of God doesn't have any... The Word of God is complete. It doesn't have any loopholes in it. It's perfect.
My question before that was... I want to make sure I'm getting this right. I think we touched on it last Wednesday. So we're married, and my wife goes out, and she just decides she doesn't want to be married to me anymore. She puts me away. Divorces me. Through the courts, you know. So now...
Okay, now let's, okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, let's get down, hold those what-if scenarios. Let's get down and look at a chart, hopefully here in just a little bit. Okay. What I'm saying that Matthew 19 and 9 teaches is that there's only one reason for divorce. You put away your spouse not for fornication and remarry, you commit adultery. You put away your spouse for fornication and remarry, you do not commit adultery. You marry one who is put away. Okay, Carolyn, and that can be for both categories, any reason or fornication. You marry one who is put away, you commit adultery. And that Matthew 19 and 9, and Carolyn Roy, hopefully this part is getting to your previous questions. Okay? That there's an order to God's Word. Now, as an example, I put up Mark 16 and 16. And we know what Mark 16:16 says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. God's order is belief, baptism, and salvation. Baptist order, or man's order, is belief, salvation, and baptism, maybe 2 weeks later. If at all. Exactly. If at all. Absolutely correct. Now, look at Matthew 19 and 9 again. Brethren, I believe there's an order taught in there. God's order is marriage, fornication, the putting away, and then remarriage. This is God's order for a scriptural remarriage. But what some are teaching is down below, on the second half of the chart. They're teaching that the order is marriage, putting away, then fornication, then a second divorce, and if you have heard the term, if any of you have ever heard the term in these discussions on this topic, the second divorce or second putting away, this is where the phrase mental divorce comes in. Okay? And 5, remarriage.
What's that saying? You divorce and then you wait for your spouse to commit fornication and then you divorce them in your mind and then you're free to remarry.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, okay. That.
Very good explanation. Very good explanation, Jenny.
Well, would now, on the chart if it said that it would be.
Now, here. Now, think about this. God's order is what? Fornication, because that's the reason for the divorce. Fornication, then the putting away. Man wants to reverse that. Put away, then the fornication. This is what I'm saying here, in effect, that in God's order, Fornication is the reason for the divorce. But in man's order, they want to say that the way they really have it is that fornication is the result of the divorce. Does everyone see that? Well, Judy, yeah, let's go back to this order, okay? What is the order that we see in God's Word? We see marriage, fornication, putting away, remarriage. Randy? Yeah.
You can't 3 and 5 don't make sense. Because unless they get remarried, they don't commit fornication, unless they're a fornicator. You see what I mean?
Well,
3 and 5 got a little
switch. Well, what I'm illustrating by this is if two people divorce not for reason of fornication, and then they simply, you know, like you and I were mentioning that phrase earlier, they simply wait around to see which one breaks down first and commits fornication. Then the other one says, well, now I have a scriptural divorce. Well, what I'm saying is that's not God's order.
They did actually divorce before the fornication occurred.
Exactly. Randy?
So explain the second divorce again.
Are we out of time, Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. That's where someone just says mentally, I put you away now. That's the second putting away. That's the second divorce, so to speak.
It's not clear on the chart without parenthetical explanation.
Okay. Okay.
Also,
I couldn't get that to work yet, and yeah, I got to be a little more knowledgeable on Keynote. That was the first way I tried to